Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
At age 25, college dropout Ryan Holiday is now the director of marketing for American Apparel and a blogger on Forbes.com. He's a media strategist and is notorious for his ability to infiltrate and manipulate news on the internet. We'll give you some examples. Ryan Holiday, author of the new book, Trust Me, I'm Lying, Confessions of a Media Manipulator. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with an example from your book. You write about how you completely fabricated a scandal around Tucker Max's I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so basically it was one of those movies where there's no bad press and we couldn't afford good press. So what we decided to do was create a fake boycott because, as we all know, the movie that everyone tells you shouldn't see is precisely the movie that everyone goes and sees. And so we manufactured this through the internet. We faked protests. We faked vandalizing billboards all over the country. And then this became real and people picked it up and followed our lead.
What was the fake controversy pretense?
It was a variety of things, but basically it was a feminist backlash about the movie, which encouraged his primarily male fans to go see it.
Did it work?
It worked very well.
In another example, you offered your services as a source on a website called Help a Reporter Out, a website where journalists can go and find sources for stories. And you posed as a source on topics you didn't know anything about. Like what?
Everything from turntables to barefoot running to boat winterization, of which I know nothing about.
And why did you do that? You weren't promoting a client's movie in that case.
No, I mean, a big part of this book is to rip the curtain back and show people how the news happens. And I wanted to show that the front door was being left wide open and that anyone could walk in and exert influence over the media system.
So real events and facts can grow out of something that begins as a lie.
Yeah, so let's say untrue news is published somewhere. That's fine. It doesn't change reality, but it does when people make decisions or commit actions based on that information. And then we get what media theorists call unreality, and that's pretty scary.
Some people do it for political purposes, like Breitbart or, on the other political side, the Yes Men.
Yeah, I mean, what I was doing here was doing it to sell books or T-shirts for people I believed in, but I realized that what would people do when there was billions of dollars at stake or political power at stake? And that's ultimately what drove me to write the book and expose all this.
So you've gone from being a media manipulator to sell products to a media manipulator to expose the shortcomings of today's media.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing I would do if I wanted to keep doing this stuff would be to reveal all the secrets.
But you still work for American Apparel as director of marketing?
Yeah. So I'm a strategist for American Apparel, for a variety of other brands, companies, authors, and marketing is part of what I do. But I felt that this particular type of marketing had more disadvantages than advantages, and I wanted people to know that.
By the way, did the feminist backlash that you planted for I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell take root as a real feminist backlash?
Yeah, so I vandalized the billboards in Los Angeles myself, and I took pictures of it. And exactly a week later, 16 feminists in New York City organized a campaign to do the same vandalization, and it was covered by everyone from the Village Voice to Gawker.
I didn't see that movie. Was it sexist?
I didn't think so, but I thought it was certainly controversial, and so we played up that angle for our own gain.
As a distinction, you refer to all online news websites as blogs, even those connected to major news organizations like, say, the New York Times.
Yeah, I realize that's a controversial opinion, but when everyone's competing for the same finite amount of attention, the sort of the lowest common denominator defines what everyone has to do. And so when the Huffington Post does sensational headlines, it means the New York Times has to be more sensational in their headlines. And it becomes a race to the bottom that everyone loses.
And from the some blogs are worse than others category, you rate the Huffington Post pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're certainly trying to improve, and I respect and condone that. But I think there are certainly worse violators out there. I think Business Insider is particularly egregious. I think Gawker is particularly bad. These are places that pay their writers based on how many page views they do. So the writers don't care about the readers. They care about how much money they can make from each article.
Talk about what you call trading up the chain and how stories go viral through this process.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, where do reporters find the things that they write about these days? If you're a writer at the New York Times, you're not out pounding the pavement or eavesdropping in bars for the latest scoops. You're logging online like the rest of us and seeing what people are chattering about. So what people like me do is create artificial online buzz in the right places to get on that radar, which then the media popularizes thinking that they've sort of discovered this new thing.
Just not to completely discredit functioning news organizations, there are still reporters out there getting stories.
Oh, yeah, of course. And I appreciate that. And I do try to highlight those people in the book. But I just feel like it's a fight they can't win with the incentives set up the way that they're currently set up.
Therefore, the media doesn't even need manipulators like yourself to propagate falsehoods or inflate or create stories where there aren't ones.
Right. In fact, the media is kind of in the same racket as self-promoters and publicists these days, right? Like, if a blogger is paid by how many page views their articles do, almost everything they write is a conflict of interest because they want to write it not in the way that's most truthful, but in the way that will get the most page views. And these naked incentives are alarming.
But is this really new? In the early 20th century, there was yellow journalism, scandalous stuff, true or not, designed to sell papers, even designed to help get us into the Spanish-American War in 1898 is a famous example, to help sell papers.
Right. And no, so it's not new, but we knew it was bad then, and we did something about it, and we tried to solve that problem. Here we have technology bringing us back to where we were 100 years ago, and we're praising it as our savior rather than looking at it critically and with some awareness.
You assert that Politico, the political news organization and website Politico, was almost solely responsible for making Tim Pawlenty a viable presidential candidate for the 2008 election. How would that have happened?
Well, I think he's really interesting because Politico started following Pawlenty's campaign for the 2012 election, actually, before he declared his candidacy.
Are you talking about the current election, the 2012?
Yeah, in 2010, they began following Tim Pawlenty around before he declared his candidacy. And they did that because he was an easy mark that they could get cheap attention for. And then that gets reified as he gets more and more coverage. And then he becomes a legitimate candidate.
But how is that new? I mean, Pawlenty, I knew in 2010 that Pawlenty, as governor or former governor of Minnesota, was seriously considering a presidential race.
Well, what happens is that blogs know that their traffic go up during elections. So what they want to do is move elections up as early as possible. And this has always existed in the media, but the demands to do so are so much greater when these blogs can publish theoretically an infinite amount of content that the cycle gets moved up preposterously early, and these candidates have to be built up, then destroyed, and then a fresh one trotted out, and the same thing happens over and over again.
To stay on the Politico example for a minute, were they not also following Mitt Romney and some of the other presumed 2012 candidates?
Yeah, and what I talk about in the book is it's this interesting example where it illustrates the cycle so well because it's a New York Times article following Politico who's following Tim Pawlenty. And to me, that illustrates the absurdity of our cycle where the news is reporting on itself and acting like it's not an active creator of the news that it then gives to the public.
What about people who say they only read old-fashioned print media? Can they count their news, in your opinion, as being free from the manipulation of the online media empire that we've been talking mostly about?
That's almost the most dangerous position because you can't see these stories generated online and then notice them as they appear in the media. You think you're not exposed to these risks, but you're actually the most exposed because it's been obscured. You know, they're following the lead of the rapid-fire online cycle, and that defines what we read, whatever outlet it is.
Do you think some good can come of your critique, or is it just going to leave people cynical about all media?
Well, I think that cynicism helps because it means we're going to be more skeptical. But I hope that the stuff that I talk about in the book becomes much more difficult to do, having written about it. I think there isn't anything in this book that isn't openly talked about in the media, and I think open secrets are bad, and I wanted to change that.
So what do you think could actually be done as a matter of best practice?
Yeah, so I think obviously the readers need to have some more awareness. They need to know how the sausage is being made so they can decide whether they want to eat it or not. But I think the major incentives in the media need to be changed. When we consume media by subscription, the creators of the news are a lot more loyal to the readers. I think when writers are more insulated from market forces, they produce better work. So I think those are two things we can do right away.
Ryan Holiday, his day job is director of marketing for American Apparel. He's also a blogger on Forbes.com, and he has written the book, Trust Me, I'm Lying, Confessions of a Media Manipulator. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.